called The Agitator in the New Republic, Ryan Lizza said Kelman paid a small fortune to run the ad in the New York Times. Kelman was in search of an African-American to help him break through the barriers he was facing in the Chicago's African-American South Side. Kelman and his colleagues couldn't break through, Lizza wrote, because he and his fellow organizers were white, and two of the three were Jewish. The black pastors viewed them with suspicion and, in some cases, outright disdain. Obama explains in Dreams for My Father that he knew Kelman was Jewish and was an experienced organizer since the 1960s, but he omits a critical detail. Kelman's organization was a product of Saul Alinsky's organization. Obama left this out for a good reason. Alinsky defined community organization tactics for several generations of American leftists, going back to his early efforts to organize Chicago's back-of-the-yards meatpacking neighborhood in the 1930s. Alinsky died in 1972, more than a decade before Obama moved to Chicago to learn his methods. Still, Alinsky's impact on Obama is clear. We need look no further than Alinsky to find out where Obama got his mantra for change. For some three decades before Obama was born, Alinsky had been defining the political meaning of change for those radicals he was calling forth in his classic book, Reveille for Radicals. Change, for Alinsky, invoked radical socialism and meant the redistribution of wealth. Obama means the same, but by hiding the reference, he avoids having to be explicit about the radical goal behind the theme. Alinsky advocated creating change through a set of carefully calculated power politics tactics, where the end always justified the means. He taught practitioners of his methods the importance of raising the consciousness of the economically disadvantaged, who were typically also minorities. The goal was to stir the pain of economic suffering in order to create awareness in an economic underclass of its members' disadvantages. From there, the community organizer's job was to mobilize the discontent into political power. Alinsky's goal was to set in motion a peaceful revolution using the ballot box, not bombs or bullets, to wrench power from the hands of capitalist elites and business leaders currently in charge. Make no mistake about it, change was Alinsky's code word for creating a socialist revolution. Even if the methodology meant radicals would cut their hair, put on business suits, and run for political office, Alinsky taught organizers to hide their true intentions in the words they spoke. Denying the truth or just plain lying were both acceptable tactics, as long as the cause was advanced. He taught organizers to ridicule opponents when the arguments of their opponent could not be refuted by logic, evidence, or argument. In the streets, Alinsky had learned the old communist adage that derision would cause community audiences to laugh at their opponents rather than listen to what their opponents were saying. He berated the street radicals of the civil rights movement, charging that the theatrics of their street protests and the physical danger inherent in calls to use violence undermined the cause. He famously said that Yippie activists Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman couldn't organize a luncheon, much less a revolution. Organization for Action will now, and in the decade ahead, center upon Americans' white middle class, Alinsky wrote. That is where the power is. For Alinsky, the pragmatics of power meant radicals needed to realize the value of their middle-class experience so they could stop rejecting their middle-class identity to build bridges of communication and unity. Correctly, Alinsky saw radicals such as himself and Obama as elitists by nature. The last thing Alinsky wanted was for himself to be middle class. What he sought was to grab the power from the corporate and business elite he reviled. For Alinsky, the middle class was a pawn. He could only produce his desired change by convincing the middle class to side with him in its own destruction. Jerry Kelman was clearly a student of Alinsky, the school in which Obama enrolled when he decided to leave New York and head off to Chicago for work was Saul Alinsky's school. The path he chose to follow was Alinsky's path. Politics, not insurrection. Even if in his own mind, Obama was a revolutionary pursuing change. Alinsky taught that politics, camouflaged as community organizing, was the only effective way that socialist elites could mobilize the have-nots to take power from the haves. One of Alinsky's prize pupils was Hillary Clinton, whose 1969 senior thesis at Wellesley College was a 75-page salute to Alinsky. In his 1971 book, Rules for Radicals, Alinsky tells us he learned from Lucifer, the Prince of Lies, and he modeled his writing after Machiavelli, the original architect of power politics. Alinsky defined the job of an organizer as to rub raw the resentments of the people of a community. When he asked new students why they wanted to organize, he shouted back at them a one-word answer. You want to organize for power. Jerry Kelman, the Chicago-trained professional organizer who recruited Obama in 1985 to Chicago to work in the Developing Communities Project, was known for using Alinsky's technique of extensively interviewing pastors and active church members.